Yeah.
Thank you, Donna. Good morning. Hey, man, look around, give somebody a wave that says Happy New Year. I'm glad that you're here. As always, if you're joining us by way of online, be sure to give a wave, an emoji, a hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito over there, who is your voice online as you watch today. And choir, be sure to smile because everybody's looking at you. See that little light over there flashing? That means they're looking at you, even when you sing. You got all eyes on you, but we're so glad that you're here today as we begin a new year, this actually being the first Sunday of 2025, and we welcome you here. We welcome you back. It's been such a long time. I hadn't seen you since last year, but so good to have that opportunity for us to be able to be together today and worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. And let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time here together today. Our Father, as we come to you, we're so grateful once again that you give us a new hope each and every day. Lord, your mercies truly are new and fresh every day. And Lord, for this opportunity that you have allowed us to be able to come together and Lord, just to gather around your word, to talk about you, to talk about your love and your goodness towards each and every one of us. Father, I pray that as we embark on a new year, that we would take up the challenges, Lord, that we would trust you in new ways as you bring about our path. Lord, the path that you have for each and every one of us individually, Lord, as families, Lord, as a church. And I just pray, Father, that you will help us to hear you loudly and clearly as we march forward in your will. So today, Lord, we just ask that you would help us to clear our hearts and minds of any distractions. For, Lord, we know that there are many. But, Lord, help us to concentrate and to focus upon what the Spirit will say to us today. If we come looking for a blessing, we know we will receive it. Lord, if we come listening for you, we know we will hear you because you give us that promise in your word. So, Father, today I pray that we will be tuned into you and that you will give us courage to act and adjust accordingly based on what you tell each and every one of us this very day through your word. So, Lord, help us as we worship, as we lift up our voices to you, and may each and everything we do be a pleasant aroma to you in the kingdom of heaven as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Please stand with me as we sing 335, Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal praises let the praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior.
Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing.
Choir. Please turn with me to 644, Count Your Blessings. Or you can sing that one again. This is one that Roy has mentioned quite a few times in the past, and I keep thinking, I got to do that. So finally remember, let's do Count Your Blessings. So that's a great song, 644. Thank you.
When upon my pillows you are dead, name them one by one.
Join me as we sing, Open Our Eyes, Lord.
Pray everybody's new year is off and rolling as we enter into the year of our Lord 2025. Today we're going to be looking at a couple of different passages. One of them is going to be familiar to you. The other one probably not so much. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, and as we begin our time together today, I just want to say that as I was looking around, I had a great big smile on my face because it is so good to see Miss Hannah with us today. Girl, we love you. We appreciate you, and like I say, we're just going to love you to death, that's for sure. So it's so good to see you today back with us at Central. You know, as we have entered in to a new year, one of the big things that it's important for us to do is to reflect on the blessings and the promises that God has given to each and every one of us. You see, a new year for each and every one of us symbolizes a new beginning. Now, I've said before, there's nothing magical about the stroke of midnight that carries us from one year to the next, but it's one of those points where we can set back, we can refocus. We've looked back over the past year, we look with fresh hope towards a new year, and some of the things that we talked about last week, we're going to take it a step further today as we look at God's Word. Today, I want us to look at the scriptures in Isaiah chapter 43, and we're going to deal with two verses out of that, and we're going to kind of unpack them a little bit as we go forward. But Isaiah 43, beginning with verse 18, we're just going to look at verses 18 and 19. So Isaiah 43, 18 says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Now, I'm going to hold that thought for just a minute with those verses, because I'm going to give you another verse that's very familiar. You don't have to turn there, but it's Jeremiah 29:11 that goes right along with this verse. And Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Let's pray together. Father, as we endeavor to look at your word today, we pray that your Holy Spirit would truly speak to our hearts. Lord, as we have come into your house today, we take that that deep breath, and Lord, we realize that your presence is in this place today. And Lord, help us to relax in your presence, and help us to truly seek the words of the Holy Spirit today, and give us ears to hear the message that you have for each and every one of us, tailor-made for our own lives exactly where we are. And then, Lord, I pray that as your messenger for the moments, that you would truly empower me to be all that you need for me to be, for your people to be able to hear your word today. And Lord, we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we kind of look back at those passages in Isaiah, we see some thoughts. So let me give you a little bit of context and background for those passages. See, the book of Isaiah contains prophecies and messages of both judgment as well as hope. Now, we've seen that. We saw that circle with Israel so many times where he says, look, if you get out of line, there's going to be judgment. But along with that judgment, there has always been hope. So in the midst of whatever you may be going through or what you were going through in 24, as you head into 25, look at it as a start of some fresh hope. But the book of Isaiah has both judgment and hope. Now in Isaiah 43 verses 18 and 19, which is our text, God speaks to Israel about moving forward and embracing the new things that he is doing. We have trouble with that oftentimes, don't we? We have trouble embracing new things because we get so comfortable where we are. We get comfortable with what we call normal. And therefore, when new things happen, sometimes they're difficult for us to embrace. You know, I know that every one of us have used this, including myself. You know, we've sat back and said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? Well, there are certain things that each and every one of us, now it's ironic that in certain areas, we're okay with embracing the new things. In certain areas, we are, but in certain areas, we are not. Now, let me give you an example. How many of you rode your horse here today? I don't see a single hand out here. I was looking back at Carl because I thought maybe he'd ride one of his mules or something today. But anyway, yeah, none of y'all rode your horse here today. Why not? You got a car. All right, how many of you drove your A model or your T model here today? Nobody? Don't have the A model or T model? That was the first one. Why didn't we drive those? Because there are other models that have come out since then. We don't have trouble embracing some of the new things when it comes down to things such as that. Now, there are often times that we are forced to embrace new things, and we go kicking and screaming. A lot of us were forced to embrace new things during the pandemic, weren't we? Yeah, I never thought even in my lifetime I would live to see the day where cash could not be used someplace. Y'all remember those days? You know, you go to pay somebody and they're like, well, we don't take that. It's money. You don't take money? Nope, got to use those cards. A lot of us were forced into that. And you don't have to look too many years back to see how you've been forced into the newness. We were forced into the fact that the only way to be able to attend church, as it were, during the pandemic was to do so online. Yeah, that was tough for us. That was tough for us as a church to embrace because we knew we had to take those steps going forward to be able to remain relevant as we went forward. So the Lord is saying there are going to be some new things, okay? Then Jeremiah 29:11 goes out and it is set during the Babylonian exile, and it is reassuring the Israelites that God has plans for their future. Plans of hope and plans of prosperity. And folks, that message that he gave to Israel is the same that he gives to you and I today. There is hope as we go forward. So as we look at this, you see, we've embarked on a new year. This is the first Sunday of a new year. And it's critical to understand and to trust in God's promises for each and every one of our lives. Now, Isaiah speaks of forgetting former things and recognizing the new paths that God creates for us. We don't like new paths. You know why? Because we know the curves and the turns and the downfalls and the pitfalls of the old road, don't we? So we like to travel the old road. Now, where are my adventurous people out here that when you take a trip, you'll like to take a different route to get there? Look, there ain't many hands going up, are there? How many of y'all like the same old route? Yeah, I like to drive that same old route. The rest of y'all just don't want to answer the question, or you're not participating today, okay? You're one of the other. Yeah, every now and then, we used to call it, let's take the scenic route. You get some new visions, you get some new sight. Some of us don't like to do that because we're afraid of what lies ahead. We're afraid it's going to cost us more time. We like to stay with what is familiar. And see, folks, God promises us that he plans to prosper us and not to harm us. And he has plans for our hope and for our future. Now, in Isaiah 43:18 and 19, it is encouraging believers to look ahead, shedding the past failures. Now, that one's a real easy one to do. Yeah, because all of us have had past failures. We've had past disappointments, and we desperately want to get rid of those. Now, I usually wind up getting on a soapbox somewhere along this particular point, and I'm going to try not to do that, because it is extremely frustrating to see God's people being held back by sin that they've been forgiven of. It's extremely frustrating to see people being held down by themselves. I've used this before, maybe even with some of you all that are here, or maybe some of you all that are listening. When somebody comes to me and they share something about their past, and yes, it wasn't good. Maybe it was something that was heinous, and they have gone to the Lord. They have repented of that sin. They have carried that sin to Him. And I ask, I say, well, do you believe that God forgives sin? And they say, well, yeah, I believe that God forgives sin. I said, well, do you believe that God has forgiven your sin? Well, yeah, I believe that God has forgiven my sin. I said, well, do you believe that God still holds that against you? And they say, according to the Word of God, no, God does not hold that against me. And I said, okay, then let me just categorize what you're talking about right now in a way that you'll understand it and it'll make you mad. I said, you are arrogant. Oh, boy, that's an attention getter. They say, why are you saying I'm arrogant? I said, because you just told me that God doesn't hold any of that against you, but yet the problem is you are holding those things against yourself. And therefore, if you say God can forgive you, but you can't forgive yourself, that is the height of arrogance, because you're saying that you have a higher standard than God. And then usually I get a look. I said, but that's what's going on, isn't it? You just said God forgives. And see, too many times people think, well, God forgives everybody, but He can't forgive me of this because of what's happened, because of what has taken place. And folks, it drives me nuts to know that there are Christians today that are being held down by forgiven sins of the past because you keep holding them against yourself. When God is sitting there going, you've been forgiven. Where there is repentance, there is forgiveness. And where there is forgiveness, the Lord doesn't forget because He has a bad memory. He forgets because His forgiveness is pure and His forgiveness is holy. And we are given another chance. Remember that as you enter in to 2025. We've all got things that Satan loves to hold against us. Even today, as you've walked into this place, there are things that Satan has reminded you of. Amen? Remember what you did back then? Remember what you did back decades ago? Remember how bad you were? How can you even walk in here? Well, let me make you a promise, and I want you to, everybody in this room and everybody that's watching, to understand this today. Every single person within the sound of my voice has things in their life that they regret. Sins that you never even thought you would do. Things that you are highly ashamed of. Things that you would never want the people sitting around you, in or near you, to know about. Every last one of you has those things in your life. You do not set out here an island to yourself and say that I was so bad and that I did this and that I'm the only person that has ever done that. Even the most holy person that you can think of, even the person that you want your spiritual life to be like, has those things in their life that they don't want anybody else to know about. So quit thinking that you're all alone and quit believing the father of all lies. Did you hear me? Who is the father of all lies? Satan. Stop listening to him. Let me tell you something. Satan has perfect church attendance. Did you know that? He shows up at everything we have at Central Baptist Church. He shows up at every event. He shows up to every family function you have. He shows up when you ride down the road. He shows up in your workplace, and he is there to be the father of lies, to deceive you, to get you to try to be something that God doesn't want you to be, or to beat you down to the point where you don't feel like you can be effective for the kingdom. Now, I said he's the father of lies. Do not allow him to have reign in your life. You see, these passages we're looking at reflect God's ability to bring about new opportunities and new blessings. Jeremiah 29:11 affirms that God has intentions for you. If you are living and if you are breathing, He has plans for you to provide for you, to provide love for you. You see, in the coming year, let's focus on God's promises. How about doing that? Embrace each day as a new opportunity to walk in God's will. You know what? Today is a good day because God allowed us to have it. Today is a good day because we walked and we talked and we had this opportunity to be here. There are going to be people that are going to be watching this that didn't have the same opportunity that you had to be here today. What a blessing it is. And how many times have we said, oh, well, I'm just not going to go today because, you know, I just don't want to go. I don't feel like going. I've got other things. There are people who would love to be in your seat today in the house of the Lord. You know, we need to pray for guidance. And we need to be sensitive to the new things that God is doing in our lives. And we need to strive to let go of the past failures, trusting in God's plan and in God's purpose. Now, I said a moment ago that there was something I mentioned last week, that we need to forget the things that are behind us and strive for the things that are ahead of us. That doesn't mean just the bad things. We want to forget the things that didn't turn out so well. We want to forget the failures. But you know what? We cannot rely on past successes to get us forward as we go forward either. The past successes are just that, past successes. Yeah, I think that sometimes one of the biggest problems that we have isn't necessarily dealing with failure. I think it's more difficult to deal with success. How do you deal when God has been, when you have been a success in your life, when you have been a spiritual success, when you've seen God do some incredible things, and then God's not doing the same incredible things that He was doing before? Is He still God? Is He still on the throne? Is He still mighty? I reminded you last week of what Job said. Job said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away." And then he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Plain and simple. I want us to think about something for just a moment. I read an article back several years ago, and it was so poignant to me because it was about Sears Roebuck. Now, a lot of us know a lot about Sears Roebuck, all right? There was a lot of people here that actually worked for Sears. How many, is there anybody here still? Look, there's still hands. Folks that worked for Sears. Man, I can still remember. I'm old enough to have grown up with Sears, with Kenmore washers and Craftsman tools. Woo-wee! Boy, Sears was fun, wasn't it? I'm also old enough to remember what Christmas was like before computers and everything else. And before there was the internet, there was the Sears catalog. Where are my Sears catalog people? Oh, Lord have mercy. It made your day. When that thing showed up, you spent hours perusing through the Sears catalog, didn't you? You would dog ear pages. You would mark things. You would show those things to mama. Greensboro was known for Sears. Over on Lawndale Drive stands this great big building that was part of the catalog sales because it seemed like everybody in the United States of America used Sears Roebuck. Okay? I want to read you some excerpts out of an article. I think about what it was like at Christmas. That's the way it was. It is no more and no less than the Sears wish book. That was that catalog that I remembered in those days. Sears Roebuck began in the 19th century as a mail order business for selling items, things such as watches, but it quickly grew into a catalog that sold everything from saddles to sewing machines, largely to a rural nation. The combination of the low prices, vast selection, and massive production proved electric. The following catalog successes in brick and mortar department stores, buildings off of the new mobility of automobiles. Sears quickly became the country's largest and most powerful retailer. Probably not telling you anything that you don't know. Sears sold everything, cars, houses, everything. By the 1970s, one out of every 204 working Americans worked at Sears. Did you get that? One out of every 204 Americans worked at Sears. The publishing of their catalog alone made them the nation's largest publisher. Sears was regarded as a national institution, almost like the post office, said Gordon Will, who chronicled the history of Sears in a 1977 book. So when we think about that, what are some things that we can learn from Sears' seemingly demise? You don't see Sears anymore, do you? Sears is not what it used to be. Why not? Let me tell you why. Because society changed, and Sears didn't change with it. Don't ever think that you are too big not to move forward. That's why God continues to do new things in our midst. Now, let me make one thing very, very clear. The same holds forth when it comes to church. But here's one of the differences. The gospel message never changes, ever. The way it's presented often can change, and it has to if you are going to be relevant. That's the term that I like to use, if we are going to remain relevant. I believe what the Bible says, that as far as the church goes, that he has built it upon the rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. But we need to innovate as a church. Remember what he was talking about. God says, I'm going to do a new thing. But what are we going to say in 2025? I don't want a new thing, God. I want the same old, same old. Now, we also know the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again and expect different results, right? Okay? Let me give you a few thoughts on this Sears thing. Why are they not around anymore? The history that was behind this article said that they lost their focus. See, with ventures into Discover Cards and Coldwell Banker, real estate, their attempt to diversify led them away from both core competencies and market focus. In other words, by diversifying, they got distracted from their core business. What is the church's core business? And I know some people are sitting there going, well, church isn't a business. No, but you know what? The same concepts apply, don't they? What is the business of the church? I shared with you many years ago where I saw a sign where a church had closed down, and on the sign, somebody put going out of business because we didn't know what our business was. And how sad is that? I would argue that the church's business is simple: evangelizing the lost, assimilating the evangelized, and discipling the assimilated, and unleashing the discipled. That's what it's all about. That is our business. Those are our core competencies. That is what it is all about. What was the second thing about Sears? Sears didn't get out of the malls. Sears depended on the malls. When malls began to decline, or at least when shopping diversified beyond the malls, not least of which by going online, Sears stuck with the malls and they began dying with them. Want a quick comparison? By the way, I'm reading from an article. Amazon stock trades at more than $1,000 a share at the writing of this article. Sears for less than $10. At one time, a national monument, as it were. Too many churches link methodology with orthodoxy. In other words, a way of doing things linked with beginning or being the true to the faith. It's a recipe for decline. There is nothing sacred about being in a mall, just as there is nothing sacred about doing a Sunday school class. Now, some of y'all are going to throw rotten tomatoes at me. I didn't say that I was against a Sunday school class. But what I'm saying is simply this. Are there other ways that we can have small groups, other ways that we can get together, other ways that we can create discipleship along the way? So many times we are tied to what I still call it, facility-based evangelism, facility-based discipleship, meaning we have to do it all right here. No, you can have a discipleship group in your home. You can have a discipleship group, and you can have a Sunday school class at Wendy's if you want to, and it's okay. It doesn't have to be facility-based. The third thing that was mentioned as the decline of Sears is that they didn't innovate fast enough. And I'll ask this question because this article asked it. I'd never heard of it. How many of y'all have ever heard of Sears Grand? Now, some of you probably had because some of you work for Sears. Anybody ever hear of Sears Grand? Okay. Not a hand went up. Probably not. And that's the problem. Designed to compete with Walmart, it was rolled out too slow, as in only 10 to 20 stores per year. In comparison, there are now nearly 5,000 Walmarts operating in the U.S. alone and online shopping. Now, this was at the time of the writing of this article. Not a priority, at least in terms of investing for success. From 2006 to 2008, the Sears website went down for hours at a time on Black Friday and Cyber Monday, and according to the Washington Post, Sears seemed unconcerned. They expected it to happen. They expected it to happen. So slow on innovation and cavalier toward efficiency and effectiveness in areas of innovation, Sears says that it's hanging on. To those who forecast its imminent death, a company representative said, "The folks who are playing taps at our funeral, we're not in the box." Going further, a Sears spokesman said, "People are shopping us to the tune of $20 billion in revenue. Clearly, we mean something to a lot of people. But are they meaning something to the coming generations, the very future of Sears?" Interestingly enough, it says a professor at the University of Florida recently asked his students whether they have shopped at Sears in the past year. Zero hands went up. Zero. Why? Because Sears didn't stay relevant. They didn't reach the people that were coming in a new generation. Now, you know what? You and I know this. If we don't reach a younger generation, there won't be a Central Baptist Church anymore. There'll still be the church because it has been created upon the rock. But it won't be Central Baptist Church unless we reach a newer generation. What is it? The Word tells us God is doing some new things. Now, that doesn't mean we go out and freelance stuff. It means that we find where it is that God's leading, and we get on board with what God is leading us to and embrace the new things. I mean, sometimes we have to sit back and say, "I don't like change." How many of you don't like change? How many of you like change? You're like, "Hey, this is cool. Let's change. Let's change it up." How many of you didn't answer my question? Because y'all don't want the people beside you to look at you and say, "Oh, I get it. You're a troublemaker." No, listen, folks, it's not about, we're not calling people troublemakers. There's a lot of people like that. There are certain things that I don't like to change because we like feeling comfortable where we are. But if you want to see God do the incredible things, it's going to be where we're least comfortable. If you look at even the history of Central Baptist Church, God has done the most incredible things when we have been the least comfortable, hasn't he? I know y'all probably thought we were crazy when David and I came up and said, "Hey, let's build a $2 million building." Now, I know some of y'all thought we were crazy. How are we going to do that? Well, I don't know. That's what God told us to do. He'll figure it out along the way. And it's over there. And by the way, you are so close to paying that off and burning that note in the next couple of years that it's pathetic. Think of the ministry, the lives that have been saved, the conferences that have been done, all the different things that have taken place because of following the Lord's will. See, if we can do it ourselves, it doesn't take a God thing. It's when you get out in the deep water is where you need God. And the Lord made Israel a promise. He said, "I'm going to do some new things for you." He said this. He said, "My mercies are new and fresh every day." Isn't that cool? What a ride. See, I actually admit I'm the guy who likes to take the different path. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not like Israel. Sometimes I'm like, "Well, I've been that way. Let's go this way." But then when the terrain gets rough and when things get bad sometimes, I'm the first person that wants to turn around. You that person as well? I'm like, "Oh, nope, didn't like this, bad idea, let's turn around and go back." And that's what we call the back to Egypt syndrome. That's exactly what Israel wanted to do once they were freed from the Egyptians. When they ran into trouble, where did they want to go? Remember what they said? "Were there not enough graves for us back in Egypt?" And sometimes you got to sit back and say, "Remember, you all were slaves there. You didn't have the freedoms you've got." Listen, trust me. And God's going to allow some Pharaoh's army to pin you in by the Red Sea when you walk a new path. You know why? Because God is going to be there to open the Red Sea. God is going to allow some things that we can't handle when we walk those paths. And the reason he's going to do that is so that he can show up and he can get the credit and he can get the glory. One of my favorite Bible stories is Gideon. And I've shared that many, many times when God said to Gideon, he goes, man, you're going to go into battle, but you got too many warriors. Man, I said a bunch of times, I'm like, no, I don't think I have enough. I'd rather have more than enough to overrun my enemy. God said, remember what he said? He said, I'll tell you what, ask how many of them are afraid. So Gideon's like, hey, look, y'all, everybody gather up here for me. I got a question. How many of y'all are afraid of this battle? Whole bunch of hands went up. God said, tell them they can go on home. Gideon said, okay. All right, guys, y'all just go ahead and go on home. So they left. Bunch of them left. So there's still some sitting around looking at each other. And they remember what he did? He took them down. God said, not, there's still too many. Take them down to the water. Watch how they drink. This group you'll keep. The other group, you can tell them they go home with the other. How many did Gideon have left in his army? 300. Those were insurmountable odds. God said, now we got it. And by the way, he even told him why the numbers were going to be decreased. He said, so that everybody will know that it was at my hand that you have been delivered. Not because you were a good general. Not because you had a good fighting crew. It was impossible odds, and yet they rode into it. I've said many, many times, how would you like to have been one of Gideon's 300? You'd have probably, after the end of that meeting, Gideon says, all right, the 300 of us are going to attack at sunrise. For the rest of the evening, you were probably working on your last will and testament. Because you thought, there ain't no way we can't make it. Oh yeah, but we've read the end of the story, haven't we? God brought victory through the 300. As we welcome a new year, we need to hold on to the assurance found in God's words. With hearts full of hope, with hearts full of trust, we are called to embrace the future, knowing that God is creating a pathway for us to flourish. God's pathway. It's not set by myself. It is not set by David. It is not set by a board. It is not set by a group. It is set by God Almighty, and it will be a path by which to flourish. So the question is, are we going to be able to do that? Let's go back to those verses for just a few minutes. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, it says, do not remember the former things, the good or the bad. Don't remember the things from the past, nor consider the things of old, the things from the past, the things from behind. Don't consider those things. It says, behold, I will do a what? What does that say? I'll do a new thing. A new thing. I am going to do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. If I got into the last part of that, you know what he said? He said, I'm going to make a way when everything else seems impossible. Notice what that says. It says, I will even make a way or make a road in the wilderness. You're going down through there going, how are we going to get there? There ain't nothing but forest between us. God says, I'm going to make a road right through there. He says, I'm going to make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You don't find rivers in the desert, do you? No. But God said, I'm going to make a way, a path through here. I'm going to make rivers in the desert. And he used those two examples because those are impossible things without him. And God says, I want to do the impossible things. Let's buckle up for a great ride in 2025, and let's trust him. Let's reach into the future with all that we have as led by God to see him flourish. Can we do that? As we do, we will know the truth of Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and hope. Wow. For me, for you, for us. That's what God says. He says, my ways are not your ways, and your ways are not mine. You know, I've thought many, many times as I've read that article about Sears Roebuck, how, wow, I don't want to become irrelevant. And I know that a lot of times folks say, well, church is not going to become irrelevant. Yes, it is. It is becoming irrelevant in our society today. You're not seeing that. I'm going to put it like this, men who are answering the call to ministry. If you are seeing men answer the call to ministry, generally what happens is they're in a church for 2 to 3 years. Then they go to another church. They're at that church for another 2 to 3 years. And then after that, they're back in secular work and said, there's no way I'm ever going back into ministry again. It's sad. Now, I believe that they're going to live their life miserable if they've truly been called by God. But the bottom line is, they said, I just can't put up with it. I just can't put up with, how heinous God's people can be. The politics and everything else. Let me tell you, folks, politics are alive and well in churches just like they are anything else. You don't have many pastors that are coming forth anymore. And people say, well, there will always be the church. That's true. And people say, there will always be revival. And they're like, I'm looking around and I don't see it. Folks, I see it in other places. I just don't see it in America. That's the sad part. I will watch people spend all day to get to a church service, to spend hours in a church service, to sing praises to the Lord by whichever manner they can sing, whether it's with instruments, whether it's contemporary, whether it's traditional, whatever it may be, hours upon end, they will go to a church service. They will love on one another. And then they will spend hours going home at the end of the day, not getting in an automobile, but taking a taxi or walking for miles and miles and miles. It's pretty incredible. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've shared with y'all one time we were in Cuba and we were sitting. I said, I thought we were supposed to be at this church, and it was 40 miles away. I said, I thought we were supposed to be at this church at like 6 o'clock. And it was 6 o'clock then. They said, it'd be all right. So we ate dinner, then got in a van, and drove 40 miles. Church started at 6 o'clock. They were singing. They were praising the Lord. They were having the time of their lives, enjoying being in the presence of the Lord and in the presence of each other. And then when we got there, I thought, well, geez, I'm probably just going to run right up there and preach. They've probably just been waiting on us. No, they sang for 30 more minutes after we got there. Man, I'll tell you one thing. If I did that, y'all would be sitting there going, is he ever going to get done? Mercy. Is he going to finish up? You only got till 12 o'clock, preacher, and you're pushing it now. It's 11:37. You better be wrapping this thing up so we can get out of here. It's just an American mindset. And folks, I'm not beating on us. It's just truth. Look at it. Is it truth? By the way, we're not setting. If you think I'm sweating now, wait till I get to Cuba. They ain't got air conditioning. They want you to think they've got it. Air conditioning's a fan, one of them little oscillating fans that they screwed up to the wall. And I'll be honest with you, even that feels good. I'm sitting there going, because it moves. I'll pace to the fan. It's moving this way? Oh, it's moving this way. Yeah, just to try to get a little bit of breeze. And yet they love God to no end. Those little children will spend their whole day being in programs like Awana. And I'm going to tell you something, man. Their store, we saw their Awana store. It ain't nothing like ours, is it, Jimmy? I mean, it's little handcrafted things that they've made and stuff that our kids would turn their nose up at today. But boy, it's gold to them, isn't it? God has been good to us, extremely good to us. And he says, I want you to embrace the future. I'll be honest with you, there are times when I sit back and say, Lord, this is difficult. And I mean, yeah, hey, confession's good for the soul. And I sit back and say, Lord, kids are weird today. I mean, hey, you're with me. I'm like, I don't understand them. I must be generations removed. I still love them, but I don't have the first understanding about how they think and why they think the way they do. But let me tell you what I do know. I do know that God has called us to love them. And when you do that, you will begin to see, they will begin to understand you as much as you will begin to understand them. And we can see God do incredible things. We need to see more spiders in the world. Y'all remember that. I don't have to rehash that story, do I? The tattoo guy that came to know Jesus because a couple of little old ladies made that guy feel like the king of the world. They met him out front. They sat with him. They took him to lunch. And I'm not talking about young 60-year-old ladies. I'm talking ladies in their 80s. I mean, they come in with walkers and stuff, and there'd be Spider right there with them, sitting in a restaurant. They'd take him to lunch. They'd go all kinds of places, and they became a part of his life, and they loved him to the kingdom of heaven. Cool part is, I'm going to see him again in the kingdom of heaven because they loved him, because they showed him what it was like to be a Jesus person. And he, in turn, became a Jesus person. I also shared to you that he was so on fire for the Lord that he led his cousin, the quadriplegic, to the Lord. Ever baptized a quadriplegic that weighs as much as you? I have. It's pretty cool. By the way, both of those guys are in heaven now. Both of them. And I'm going to see them again. 2025 is going to be an interesting year. It's going to be a good year. But the Lord says, I'm doing a new thing. Embrace the new thing. I'm going to do some things that are different. Don't be afraid of them. Embrace them. I am going to do some things that are going to cause people to be drawn to me. And I will use you to do that. And I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and plans to do you no harm. Where are we in that regard? I hope and pray 2025 is going to be a great year. We can look back over 24. There's been a lot of hurt, a lot of heartache. There's been a lot of loss. I am glad to close the door on 2024 and open the door on 2025. But I look into 2025 with new hope, and I pray that you do as well. So my question is, as we lead off into the future, what has the Lord put on your heart today? Brad, you guys come on up. We're getting ready to start our time of invitation. And first of all, you have to know and trust Jesus. You will never follow him if you don't know him. Remember what we said. We got to know what our business is. Evangelism, discipleship. Yeah, we need to reach people for Christ. We need to disciple them to a great walk with him. Yeah, we need to unleash them. We need to send them out into the world to be exactly what God wants them to be. It's not merely enough to come and sit and hear God's word every week. It's not merely enough to just come and sit. That's the discipleship part. They're all important. But what are we doing as we move forward? How are we reaching into the lives of other people? We can do that. That's where the mission part comes in. You know, I mean, we've had people serving even in the disaster relief ministry and recovery ministry here. You know, there have been a lot of trees cut for the cause of Jesus. There's been a lot of equipment hauled for the cause of Jesus. There's been a lot of chaplaincy things that have been done for the cause of Jesus. Going to somebody and saying, look, man, I don't know how you feel. I've never had my house float down a river before, but I want you to know that God loves you, and we do too, and we're here to help you, and we're here to pray with you. I'm not going to pretend I know how you feel, but I just want you to know you don't have to walk it alone. And we've seen hearts and lives changed. Folks, ministry's not done in the confines of the walls of our church. It's done on the outside. There's where we need to be a part of it. We need to reach others, even those that are not like us. as we move forward, because I'll tell you this, the more I see it, there's a whole lot more people not like me than there are who are like me. The older I get, the more I see that. I'm like, wow. But you know what? God still loves them. And he says, those are the ones that we need to reach. Do you know my Jesus? He is here today. I mean, we're simply the handshake person. You know, I would say person, God, God, person. The relationship you develop after the invitation. Not this invitation, but after you meet him. How do you meet him? First of all, you have to profess, hey, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins. Come into my life and save my soul. If that's you, wherever you are, don't even think about doing anything else at this point except saying, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I know it, and I'm on my way to hell right now, but I want that to change today. Forgive my sins. Come into my life. Save my soul. Help me, Lord, to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. And you see, the thing about it is, when Christ is in your life, it creates transformation. You don't want to do the things that you used to do. And by the way, that's not where somebody says, don't do this and don't do that and don't do that. No. As you grow in God's grace and you grow in his word, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's the one that tells you what you need to fix. It's not the preacher. It's not your discipleship leader. The Holy Spirit's the one that says, yeah, this is not right. See, too many times we play Holy Spirit in people's lives. You need to stop this. And I get it. I mean, there are times when we know that something's outside of the will of the Lord, but there's also this thing I call holy tact, which means you need to be able to say to somebody, hey, look, you know, here's something you might want to consider when it comes down to your walk. This is what the Bible says about that, without doing it in a judgmental kind of way. Because, boy, we can be judgmental, can't we? I mean, let's be honest about it. We make judgments of people just like that. You ever walked into a place and said, I don't like that person? None of y'all ever have. I'm the only one? I have. Hey, listen, I'm being honest. I've walked into a place and said, I don't like that guy. And I've asked myself, well, why don't you like him? I don't like the way he's dressed. I don't like his attitude. I don't like his swagger. I don't like nothing about him. And don't tell me you hadn't done it. You've done the exact same thing. And that taints how we feel. It really does. But the good Lord also says, oh, yeah, yeah. I'm going to put his house right next to yours in heaven. So you get to see him every day. Sometimes I think about those things. And it helps us to keep in perspective the way we should be as Christians. And, by the way, the type of love God wants us to have, the love he has for others. See, I have to look at that person and remember, Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross for them the same way he did for me, the same way he did for everybody else. And oh, by the way, he came out of that tomb for them the same way that he did for me. And it is not my job to change them. You know what? I also have learned something else, that when I walk into a place, there's often been people who've probably looked at me and said, I don't like the way he wears his hair. I don't like what outfit he's got on. I don't like anything about him either. And then all of a sudden, if we heard that about ourselves, it's like, well, you just need to get to know me. Same thing. We need to love everybody. God loves all people, doesn't he? This is participation time. God loves all people, doesn't he? Yes. And all means all. And that's all that all means. And he says we should love them. Because they're going to be, hopefully they'll be family. You lead them to Jesus. Everybody's got them weird uncles. We have weird brothers and sisters. But we still need to love them. And need to defend them as well. Listen, what is it that God has said to you about entering this new year? Maybe you're a believer, you know, you understand your walk. Maybe you have been caught in a rut. I've often defined a rut as a grave that's opened up on both ends. Maybe we're defined in a rut. It's time to get out of that rut. It's time to see new ground for the cause of the Lord. And by the way, this is not just Roy saying that. This is what the Lord said to Israel. This is what the Lord's saying to you and I. He's saying, I want to be new and fresh every day. My mercies are that way towards you. I've got new and fresh things for us. Let's not get caught in the rut. Let's embrace the future as we go forward, that we might see God do an extremely incredible thing. Will you join me with that as we enter this new year? Maybe the Lord's put something on your heart that you need to get right with Him. Maybe there are some things that you need to get serious about your walk. Whatever it is, the Holy Spirit's told you what it is, not me. But it's time to do that. If you need me, I'm here. This altar is here. As we sing our invitation hymn, you respond to Him. Our invitation hymn is 277. Brad is going to come lead us as we stand and sing, "Take My Life and Let It Be." Are closed. You already know what the Lord has told you. You already know what you need to do. Do not allow Satan to once again lie to you or talk you into not making it right with the Lord. And whatever that may be, you take care of it right now. As we continue to do business with God, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, again, we come to You grateful for the many, many blessings of our lives and, Lord, for the provision that You have bestowed upon each and every one of us. And, Lord, yet we come to You in this time of worship to give back to You what You have asked us to return to You, that Your kingdom may be forwarded, and, Lord, that You might bless us for our faithfulness to the tithe. So right now, Lord, as an act of worship, we return to You the tithe and offering and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Vicki. Let me give you just a couple things, and then we'll get you on out of here. As far as birthdays for this week, we've only got one birthday on the list, and that is coming up on Friday, and that is Katie Nelson's birthday. Another trip around the sun. Yeah.
And what does Katie want for her birthday?
And Katie wants for her birthday for you all to show up this coming Tuesday for the blood drive. I'm sure there are slots available for that. That would be a phenomenal birthday gift for her. I am back in the saddle. I will be there on Tuesday. So anyway, that brings us to yet another one of our announcements, our blood drive, or our bi-monthly blood drive. I think it's bi-monthly. Every other month is what I'm trying to say. That is coming up on Tuesday, January the 7th from 2:30 to 6:30. If you need to see Katie, there's Katie down here. That's the birthday girl. Or Betty. Betty is right over here. You wave. That way you can talk to them about information for the blood drive. They can get you signed up. We would love to have you. And there, I believe right now there's a critical shortage going on that they're really, yeah. It's always a critical shortage. Okay, but I know some people that have received it, and I'm grateful for it. So anyway, be sure to wish Katie a happy birthday. Sign up for the blood drive that's coming up. I do want to remind folks that all of our afternoon and evening activities are being canceled due to the weather that is coming in. That includes everything. That includes Awana. We just got word on Awana. We will be letting folks know as we go forward. Our teachers, a lot of times I think we've got an email list or something that we will let folks know. That way, just because mainly we're not sure exactly what that's going to do yet with the you know, it's supposed to be rain, supposed to be kind of snow, and it kind of gets bad and kind of doesn't, but you know how it is. So we do what we can to try to keep people safe. So we won't be having no band tonight, no choir, no D groups or anything like that. We're going to give folks an opportunity to make sure that you do your four loaf alert, go get your bread, milk, and eggs so you can have your milk sandwich and stay in for a couple of days. Beat the rest of the folks to the grocery store if they hadn't already got there. I'm not sure about Steve's D group for Monday. I'm sure that you will probably hear from him coming up about that. I mentioned the blood drive is on Tuesday. Ladies Connections on the 8th. At 4 o'clock p.m. in the Family Life Center, room 116, and then the Ladies' Monthly Breakfast is going to be the 15th of this month at 9 a.m. at Cagney's on Friendly. And then just remember, from February the 28th to March 7th, that is going to be our Cuba mission trip. Be planning, be praying now about what the Lord would have for you to do. As always, we ask our missionaries that are going to raise their support outside of the church, and our church actually supports the ministries that that we do over there. We have four guys that are going this time, and we're also going to have to be very meticulous about what we're going to be able to take. We'll let you know some of the things that we need to take, but essentially we have a 50-pound bag that we can take for our stuff, and then we can take one extra 50-pound bag, and that's what we take to carry stuff for them. So if there's four of us, if you do the math, that's only 200 pounds worth of items that we can take to them for the whole year. So we're going to have to be pretty meticulous and pack very meticulously, just because we usually have anywhere, you know, around six guys. That's an extra 100 pounds that we could usually take. So at any rate, continue to pray for us. Like I say, they're still able to use the finances, and then what we do is support the missionary for the whole year over there, church planning. Our church was responsible for a building being able to be purchased in an apartment complex that they are having church in. They took us by last year and said, "You guys made this possible." In several different ways over the past 7 years with contributions and different things. So by the time we get back this year, they will be having church in that house. And by the way, let me say this. If they build a church, they can't build a church. What they build is a house. It's the pastor's house. But essentially, it would be like me living in the first room back there on the left, and this is the living room right here. So that's what they do. That's how they build the churches. So at any rate, the churches actually belong to the Eastern Baptist Convention, but yet that's the pastor's home is where they actually have church. So At any rate, a lot of great things that continue to go on there. Pray for us as we plan to head out. And we will be doing that Cuba fundraising in the month of February. So all the Sundays in February, you will be hearing about what our situation with Cuba is. And we just ask that you respond as you have in the past. You've done some incredible things, and we've been able to do some incredible things ministry-wise over there because of that. So that's coming up. Again, always good to see Hannah with us. We love you, girl. Continue to pray for you. You are part of us, and it is such a pleasure to be able to see you. Continue to keep in your prayers Diane Bloxham as she faces some continuing treatments and some unknown things down the road. Continue to pray for Roger. Who am I forgetting? I know there's people that I'm forgetting that I don't want to forget. Just Eddie. Eddie's out of the hospital. Eddie's home. He had a little bout with pneumonia and was in the hospital and just got out a couple days ago. So we want to continue to pray for Eddie Pegg along the way. If you know Eddie, you ain't going to keep him down long. That's for sure. So, folks, it's going to be a great new year. I believe that with all my heart. As we head into it, may God bless and do some incredible things. David, if you'll come up, see us off in a word of prayer, give us a little update, if you have one, on Lottie Moon offering, and we'll roll forward from there.
I think we covered everything. Let's pray. Our Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that we have to live a new year and to bring honor and glory to you. God, give us the wisdom that we need to do your will, to bring honor and glory to you each day that we live in our personal lives and the lives of our church. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.